Let's open our Bibles back to Acts chapter 8. I believe this is a fairly familiar passage of Scripture. I preached from this Scripture recently, this passage recently, but the Lord willing, I want to focus our attention on one verse. This morning, one verse of this scripture. Look at verse 36 of Acts chapter 8. The eunuch asks a question here. It says, when they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? What doth hinder me to be baptized? I pray the Spirit of God would enable us to see the answer to this question this morning. I pray we can see three things. Three things. First, what were the events that led up to the eunuch asking this question? What the hell? Second, what are the natural objections to that question? What are the answers that come to our head when we, what doth hinder me? What doth hinder me to be baptized? And then third, Philip's answer. Philip's answer to the question. So first, what leads up to this question? In verse 26, we see that the Spirit of God sent one of his messengers. It says, the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goes down. And over in the book of John, speaking of our Lord, the scripture said, he must needs go through Samaria. Similar to what we saw this morning. God sends his messengers to his people. He'll find them. He'll find them. Years ago, me and Dale, I rode down to Crossville with him. He was going to be preaching there for Donnie. And we stayed in this hotel. It had this big glass window. I don't know what caught our attention. I think it was the flashing lights outside the window, but all these police cars kind of just converged on the parking lot all at one time. And what in the world's going on? And then the next thing you know, they had this dog, like a bloodhound. It would just go back, forward, and back, and forward. And we could actually see, off in the distance, this fella had hid. He had hid down in a ditch. And slowly, methodically, boy, they just work their way. And finally, that fella pops up out of the ditch and takes off running. And they chased him down and tackled him and threw him in the back of the police car. But I say all that, they found him. They found him. There wasn't a chance that fella was going to get away that day. And the same's true of God's sheep. He's not going to lose any of them. He'll find him. He'll find him and he'll bring him. He'll bring him to him. He'll bring him to himself. You know, our Lord, he passed through Samaria. Paul and Silas spent a night in prison to preach to that prison guard and his family. God's word is going to reach his people. Over the years, we've seen this. We've seen this not just in the scriptures, but we've seen it by experience. God sends his messengers forth to preach to his people. I think of brother Tom Harney. I can remember 25 years ago, the Lord called him down to fight for the pastor that congregation. We could name just men after men that God has called to the ministry, and He sent them to the place of His choosing, to His people, to hear the gospel of His grace, to preach the gospel of His grace. We read in the Scriptures, how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? He sends His messengers to His sheep. Then we see this messenger, Philip here, he brings forth the message from God's Word. And it's a message concerning the Lamb. It's a message concerning the Lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Over and over again we read, we're taught of the Lamb. It's that same Lamb Abraham told Isaac about when he told him, God will provide Himself a Lamb for a burnt offering. The Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God that is God. He is God. The Lord provides that Lamb for Himself. He's both just and justified. The Lord will provide. He will see to it. Redemption of His people, the honoring of His law, the satisfaction of His justice, the fulfillment of His covenant, the eternal glory of His Son. He will provide. He declared on the cross, it's finished. It's finished. Salvation is accomplished. The Lord will provide Himself a Lamb. And this is declared throughout the Scriptures. And the eunuch was reading about this Lamb. We see this, look at verse 27. We read that this eunuch, he was returning from Jerusalem. I couldn't help but think Jerusalem, the holy land, as men would call it. He had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He was returned. He was coming back. And it would appear that he knew nothing more returning from Jerusalem than he did when he went. You know, maybe he felt a little holier, as men say they do, when they travel to those so-called holy lands. But Philip asked him, he said, do you understand what you're reading? You understand what's in these Scriptures? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? How can I except some man should teach me? Notice here this eunuch, God had given him a teachable spirit. He had, think about this eunuch. This eunuch was, he was somebody. I mean, he was a man, we read he was a man of great authority. He was a man of wealth. He had charge of all the queen's treasure. He was somebody. And Philip comes up to him and sees him read, and he said, Do you understand what you're reading? You know, the natural response to that question is, well, of course I understand what I'm reading. What do you take me for? Of course I understand. Why would you ask? Why would you ask such a thing? Just this past week, out in our schools, that we had a man come out there in our building. I'd never seen him before, and I tried to offer him a few suggestions on things that might help him as he went through the building, and his reply was, I've worked here, but I've worked in schools before. To me, that says, just leave me alone. Just leave me alone. I don't need your help. I know what I'm doing. And if we're honest, that's probably our response most often. A response of pride, but not this unity. Not on this day. This eunuch, He said, how can I? How can I understand except some man should teach me? Oh, that the Lord would give us that same spirit. A teachable spirit. A desire. A desire to learn. A desire to hear Him. To know more of Him. In verse 35, Philip opened his mouth and he began at the same scripture and he preached unto him Jesus. He preached unto him the Lord Jesus Christ. He preached the gospel to him. As I was studying and preparing, I wonder how many, just thinking about this, I wonder how many men had went to Jerusalem to whatever that ceremony was and come back empty. I wonder how many chariots were, I don't know if they were somewhere there on the road. You know, was it a traffic jam with the chariots back? How many chariots were sitting there with maybe men sitting in there looking at God's Word? We read of one. Went to Jerusalem. He was returning. He was sitting there in that chariot. God sends a messenger to him. Not the chariot beside him, not the chariot behind, but to him. I don't know. How many of them went home empty? How many of them got caught up in just all the events that were going on? But this man, he's an object of God's mercy. This one man, this one unit on this particular day, in this particular place, he's going to hear the gospel. There he sits with a copy of Isaiah 53, and Almighty God sends a messenger, gives this man this eunuch a teachable spirit. He prepares the soil to receive that seed, to receive the word. He preaches the gospel to them. Reveals the truth. Isn't that what God's done for many of us sitting here this morning? The other day, a few days ago, Brady and I were, you know, we were somewhere. We drove by a church building, and these signs everybody puts out front, and they put something silly out on the front of it. This may have taken the cake for me. It said Christian Comedian, and it gave the guy's name, and it gave the time. Brady looked at me and he said, "Dad, what is that? What is that?" I looked it up, and there's one thing to describe it. It's entertainment. It's entertainment. And I fear, I'm confident that in most places, that's what goes on today. Not preaching the gospel, but just entertainment. Entertainment. Play the music louder. Whatever. It's entertainment. I believe it's what Henry used to refer to as entertaining sinners on the road to hell. Yet God's merciful to His people. God's pleased in places to raise up men to preach the gospel, call His people under the sound of it, and reveal the truth. Aren't we thankful? Aren't we thankful? You know, I'm afraid we don't stop and consider that often enough. God would be pleased to spare. God's been merciful to us. Why me? Why me? Why would the Lord be merciful? Paul said in his letter to the Galatians, he said, when it pleased God, who separated, Paul could speak something about that, couldn't he? He had been caught up in all that. When it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son. How did I end up here? How did I end up under the sound of the gospel? What a blessing. What a blessing. And I wonder how many times that eunuch looked back on that day when the Lord was pleased to be show him mercy. God sends forth his messengers to his sheep. He declares his gospel to them. Philip ran to him. There's a sense of urgency there. He ran to him. He said, "Do you understand what you're reading? How can I? How can I accept some man should guide me? I gave him a willing and a teachable spirit." And then Philip opened his mouth and he began at the same scripture. And he preached to him one subject. He preached unto him Jesus. He preached unto him the Lord Jesus Christ. He was reading in Isaiah 53. He who bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. He who had no sin, knew no sin, did no sin, yet he was made sin. He was made sin as our substitute. He was smitten, stricken of God, and afflicted. Why? Why was he smitten? Why was he stricken? Because of the sins of his people. Sin must be punished. And as our substitute and representative, he bore our sin. He stood in our place. And he did what we could not do. He made full satisfaction. And he reconciled us to God by the obedience of his death. He suffered and died in the place of his people. Turn over to Isaiah 53. Look at just a few verses here. Look at verse 5 of Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. Why? Because of sin. Because of my sin. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one of us to our own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Look at verse 11. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. Our message is one message. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn back to Acts 8, chapter 5. Look at verse 5 of Acts chapter 8. Philip, you see that when he was in Samaria, same message. Look there. It says, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and he preached Christ to them." Didn't matter where Philip was, did it? Didn't matter who was standing in front of Philip. It was the same message. Christ and Christ alone. Robert Hawker was born in 1753. We read these articles and often think that could have been yesterday. That could have just, you know, Abby and I were talking about that the other day. Henry had written something in like 1955, and you just thought, well, that was just written yesterday. Well, Hawker was born in 1753 and he died in 1827. But he said this. He said, "Oh, that modern preachers would do the same. Just preach. Forget about building buildings. Forget about the events of the day. Forget about social issues and all these things. And just preach. Just preach. Just preach him. Well, what led up to this question of the emperor? A seeking sinner. God's messenger. God sends a messenger to preach Christ from the Scriptures. God gives this eunuch a willing heart, a teachable spirit. God in grace gives him faith to believe. And this eunuch says, "What doth hinder me? What doth hinder me to be baptized? What would hinder me from identifying with my Lord and Savior in His death, burial, and resurrection? What would hinder me from publicly confessing? This is not just what I believe, this is who I believe. The Lord Jesus Christ." My second point. What hinders a man from confessing Christ? What are those natural objections that are thrown out? Is it my unworthiness? Could it be my unworthiness that would keep me from confessing Christ? Remember the Canaanite woman over in Matthew 15:22? She said this. She came to the Master and she said, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. Have mercy on me." And our Lord replied, He said, "I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of Israel." And she said, "Lord, help me. Help me." And our Lord again replied, He said, "It's not meet for me to give the children's bread and take the children's bread and just cast it to the dogs." And if you read on in verse 27 of Matthew 15, she said, "Well, that's true. That's true." Can't we say that? That's true. Well, I'm not worthy. But she said, "Yet the dogs," and that's what I am. I'm a dog. "Yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." The Lord Jesus Christ spoke to her, and he said this. He said, "Great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." What doth hinder me? Maybe it's the corruption of my heart. Paul said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Maybe it's a fear of falling away. I'd confess him, but I know my heart. I know the weakness, and I would soon fall away. Over in the book of Jude, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." The only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, power, both now and ever. Our fear of falling, he keeps his sheep. What doth hinder me? Was it maybe the reproach of this world? The opposition of family and friends? Those that are near to us? In Philippians, in Philippians 3, verse 8, Paul said in his letter there, he said, "Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency and the knowledge of Christ, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things." What was his reaction to that? He said, "I've suffered the loss of all things, but I count them." We've got some, I'm not going to say which neighbor. We have a neighbor that has some cats that run around in our yard. And we walk out there and sometimes we find something on the bottom of our shoe. It doesn't smell very good. Right, Sam? Paul says, all this other stuff, I count it but done. That I may win Christ. That I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and rest in Him. Maybe it's our former life. Maybe it's our former life or conversation. Maybe that's what we're in. David entered into that thought often. He prayed this. He said, Lord, remember not the sins of my youth. The sins of my youth, the sins of old age. Remember what Nathan said to David? David had sinned against the Lord, and he wrote in the Psalm, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. What did Nathan say to him? The Lord hath put away thy sin. Why can't we grasp that? Why can't we get a hold of that? The Lord's put away our sin. It's not by works of righteousness which we've done. It's of Him. Lord hath put away thy sin. Maybe you might ask this question. Is His grace sufficient? Is His grace sufficient? Considering what a great sinner I am. Considering all these things, is His grace sufficient? The Lord told Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in thy weakness. Is His grace enough? His grace is sufficient. It's enough. I believe it's Tom Harding said, what that word sufficient means, it's enough to get the job done. What doth hinder me from being baptized? Well, third, here's Philip's answer. Philip answered him and he said this. He said, if you believe with all your heart, he that believeth on the Son hath life. Abraham, what do we read of Abraham? Abraham believed God. And think about it. Abraham was an idolater. There was nothing to commend Abraham to God, was there? God called on him to leave his country, to leave his family, to leave his father's house. The Lord spoke to him and he said, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Believe in Christ. He said, believe. Believe in Christ is coming to Christ. Our pastor tells us that all. He said, come to Christ. Come to Christ. Not the steps up here, the front row, or anything. Come to Christ. Come to Him. Like that Canaanite woman that we talked about earlier. Think about it. She came to Him knowing that He had the power to save her daughter. She came to Him and she did one thing. She cried for mercy. Huh? I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy, but she begged for mercy. Peter said this to our Lord. He said, To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Believing Christ is receiving Christ. As many as received Him, to them gave He the power, the right, privilege to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Believing Christ is looking to Christ. We read over in Isaiah 45, look unto me, be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, there is none else. Just like those the children of Israel that had been bitten by those serpents. God said, raise up a serpent of brass. Everyone that looks, lives. And those that were sick and dying, look to the Lamb. Look to Christ. Believing Christ is looking to Christ. Believing Christ is committing to Christ. Paul said, I know whom I believe and am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. My confidence. It's not in my ways. It's not in my works. It's not in this world. It's in Christ. And my hope and my confidence and my rest is in Him and Him alone. Committed to Him. Do you believe? That's what he said. Do you believe with all your heart? Do you believe with all your heart? In closing, let me read a portion of an article written by Brother Henry. He said, I read this back in the study, that a man can be saved and not know whether he's a pre, post, or amillennialist. But a man cannot be saved who does not know Christ. A man can be saved without a love for Tootle, But a man cannot be saved without a love for Christ. A man can be saved who refuses the lordship of elders. But a man cannot be saved who refuses the lordship of Christ. A man can be saved who does not enter into the rest of your Sabbath. But a man cannot be saved who has not ceased from his labors and entered in to the rest of Christ. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And you know the eunuch's answer. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Brother Mike, closing hymn.